glad you don't know me, because you probably wouldn't have been clapping. That's I got saved when I was 9. I want you to know that before I start. I am saved. I'm excited about it. And, you know, I surrendered my life when I was 20 on a missions trip. And I didn't even know what that meant when I did it, but I did it. And I came home, and I had one goal in high school I shared with your pastor, and that was to play football. I was the right size, and you didn't have to run real far. You just had to knock a guy down. That wasn't hard. And I'm pretty simple, so I liked football. And my dad, when I was a kid, or when I was a freshman in high school, he said, if you get a scholarship, I'll buy you a car. Well, the night I graduated, they said, Al Braley has a partial scholarship to play football at Georgetown College. Small school in Kentucky, and had a partial scholarship, so I'm excited now. And Dad handed me keys. Now, young people, you're not going to understand this, but the older ones will. My dad handed me keys to a Chevrolet Vega. Partial scholarship, partial car. So I came back and enrolled in, I mean, I went to school and I came home and I went to the University of Cincinnati for a few quarters, and a fellow stopped by our church and he invited me to go on a missions trip. And I surrendered my life there. I met my wife there. So missions trips are great.
Yeah.
Her dad's the one that invited me to go. It was my introduction then to bearing precious seed. Now remember, I was 20 years old. I came back, I went to the Bible college, I graduated in 1980, and I was ready to go, so I thought. My pastor at the time, he said, why don't you just give me a year and just work with me here at the church? And it was a smaller church, and he said, you can lead the teenagers. 13 years later, I'd led the teenagers that many years, and I was a layman in the church doing many things, and God led us back to Milford. I worked with the teens there. As a layman, I was the teen leader for a year, and that was a big church, and that was a hard job. And you know, pastor talked to me a few different times about some things, and time went on, and next thing you know, I'm 49 years old. I'm not now, but I was then. And he called me, and it was in October, and he said, I'd like for you to stop by my office. I want to talk to you. So I stopped by his office, and he said, I want you to come and be the director at Bearing Precious Seed. I said, what? He said, well, I need somebody to take care of the production. He said, you've been a production supervisor. He said, your last 5 years has been with a printing company. He said, you're the superintendent of that plant. He said, you know the ministry. He said, I want you to come and be part of the ministry. That's something I'd prayed for in my 20s. To be involved full time. But you know, you need to be full time no matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're what you're doing, you need to be full time for Christ.
Amen.
And you know, I'd realize that probably, it took me probably till I was 45 years old to realize that. Now, I can take you back to every place I worked and show you somebody that got saved that I work with. I got calls from people years after I'd left the first company. I remember a Sunday afternoon, the phone rang, and my wife says, it's such and such. I went over, and I said, hello. Al, I just wanted you to know I got saved.
Amen.
I didn't even remember witnessing to
That's
them.
Good. Good.
But they wanted me to know. But you know, no matter where you are, that's where you need to be full time.
Yes, sir.
If God changes it, that's great. Now, I had so much faith, it was October. Remember, I told you that. I had so much faith, I said, Pastor, shouldn't we pray about this? He said, sure, how long do you want to pray? I said, how about to the end of the year? My thought process was he'll change his mind by then and I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. I mean, that's really what I thought. Within a week, I knew what I needed to tell Pastor. New Year's Eve, we were at the same place at a prayer meeting, and he walks up to me and says, well, what's your answer? I reach in my pocket and I hand him a piece of paper I had folded in half. And he stuck it in his pocket. I said, Pastor, aren't you going to look at that? He said, no, I knew in October what I was going to say. Now, he told me, he says, you're going to take care of the production and the people and all that we do here, and you won't travel. That lasted about a month. And I've got to travel all across this country and share the ministry with folks and let them know what we're doing.
That's right.
You know, we throw out these numbers, but over all those numbers, you can send missionaries, but if they don't have the message, if that messenger doesn't have the message, what's he going to give them?
Come on.
And what if he has to leave? Isn't it pretty neat to leave a Bible there?
Good.
I think we need to think about all that, and I think we need to be responsible for it. And we continue to do that. And we're going to do all we can. Some things have happened there at the press, and it's just increasing, and it's increasing beyond what I can. I don't have much ability. I had a guy ask me at a meeting like this. I opened up for questions. He raised his hand. He stood up, and he said, "Now on that press," and he asked some technical question. I said, "Man, I can't run a press." I said, "That's the pressman's job." All right? We've all got jobs to do. If we all work together, we can get it done.
Yes, sir.
And I believe it's our responsibility to do that. Tonight, we're going to go to John chapter 2. After church, if you have any questions, please ask. In the back, in the foyer back there, we have our latest newsletter. It tells you about some of the things that it shipped up through June. I think we've shipped 10 or 12 containers at this point. One went to Papua New Guinea this week while we were out here. We've got one going to Suriname. Here in the next week, and that's in South America. We're excited about that. We've had projects in the last two World Cups. A million John and Romans went to each World Cup, one in South Africa. They called and asked if we could do that, and I said, if you have a plan to distribute them, I'm not just going to print them and give them to you for us to say we did it. But they had a strategic plan to put it in all 10 cities where those games were going on, and churches worked together to pass those John and Romans out. They'd pass about 60,000 out as soon as the games let out. We put a cover on it that looked a lot like a soccer player. And they're grabbing it, and it had things inside about, there was different tracks in the back in different languages, and they had a John and Romans that they could go through. And I don't know, we won't know till we get to heaven what that did. But we've got to do that the last two World Cups. We've been passing out scripture at the Olympics for years. And there's groups that do that, and we supply those, and we're just excited.
Amen.
Excited about what God's doing. In John chapter 2, very familiar scripture, but I want us to consider a few things tonight very quickly about this. John chapter 2, let's read the first 11 verses, and it says, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. There were set there six water pots of stone, and after the manner of the purifying of the of Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. When men have drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Let's pray. Father in heaven, be with your word tonight. Be with all that occurs. Help it to honor you. In your name we pray. Amen. Very familiar story. I'm sure you've heard it, you've read it, you know it. But I want us to consider tonight the phrase, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." You know, my dad, he passed away a year ago in December, and that's still hard for me to get used to. But, you know, he used to tell me, he'd say, you know, do this. And for some reason, I'd say, I don't want to do that. And my dad was 5'7", and he'd look up at me and he'd say, "Son, you don't always get what you want." And I'd always reply, "Dad, I don't always want what I get either." And it was kidding. I mean, I wasn't being disrespectful to my dad. But, you know, whatever Jesus tells us, we need to do it. Now, we may not care for it sometimes, but it's for our good.
That's right.
It's for our good. Why would she, for a minute, let's consider why his mom would say that, his mother. Why would she say that? Number one, I believe she had experienced following God's word.
Yep.
You know, we're supposed to do what God tells us to do, and I think every one of us here want to do that, but we let things get in our way. But you know, she had some experience following God's word. She had received and obeyed God's word earlier in her life. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 30, let's turn there and read it. I was going to quote something, but let's do that. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. You know, I believe that she went in her mind probably back to then and thought, wow. And she said, "What be unto me what God's will is." Every one of us here, we need to come to a point in our life that we want to do everything that God wants us to do.
Amen.
You know, when my dad was sick, I was driving him to Florida. He would go down there for the winter to get away from the snow. You guys don't have any of that here, so you don't have to leave it. But he would go down there to get away from it. And I was driving him down. That was what I would do. He was 85 years old. And I walked into a rest area. I'd been on the phone talking to somebody about a project. And I walked in, and my dad was leaned against the wall, and his cane was laying over on the floor. And I helped him to the car. I called my wife, and I said, find me the closest hospital. We got there. For the next 35 days, my dad was in the hospital. And, you know, I'd never got to a point where, personally, I probably had prayed, Lord, not what I want, but what you want. I don't know that I'd ever done that with someone that was hanging in the balances and about ready to die. But I remember very vividly doing that along about the third week. I remember some conversations with a doctor that I did not agree with. I remember telling the doctor, I won't be leaving his side, so don't give him something that he doesn't want. But you know, when he breathed that last breath, I know where my dad is. Because he got saved early on. Early on in his married life, he got saved. And you know, daily, when you go to his house or you'd go down to Florida to see him, and you get up in the morning, and he'd been sitting in the other room reading his Bible. I believe that Mary had experienced some things in her life from the Word of God. She told those servants, whatever he says to you, do it. I believe she had some experience with the Word of God. Number two, I believe she realized what could be accomplished following God's Word. Luke 1:37 says, Fear not, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Wow, do we use that very much? When I first came to Bearing Precious Seed, there was things that scared me to death about the ministry. You know, you call and order a load of paper and it's $22,000 and you really need three of them. So the guy says, hey, I've got three. You want me to bring them in? And you can, yeah, let's go ahead and bring them in. And then as we need them, I'll call you. God has supplied that need every time.
Amen.
Now, you know, I've heard people say things like that before, but I had not experienced it. But, you know, it's his word. He's supplying.
Yep.
He's supplying. I believe that she realized what could be accomplished following what he said. Chapter 1 and verse 38 of Luke, she said, Be it unto me according to thy word. We need to get to a point that we want to be exactly where God wants us to be, right in his word. Right where what he tells us to do, we need to do it. And I believe she recognized the need. I got to thinking about, they're at the wedding, How did Mary know they were out of wine? She probably wasn't sitting in the crowd, was she? I believe she was a servant. I believe she was helping. I believe she was helping with a wedding. She knew what they needed. She was a little bit behind the scenes, I think. Sometimes, no matter who we are, we need to be a servant. You know, every morning at the shop, these guys show up. And they're all retired. But last week, we had 13 of them, and they're running two bindery lines. Every day, some of them show up. They're a real blessing. They're servants. They're retired. They don't have to be there, but they want to be there because they know what it accomplishes. Amen. Things around here, you all, I can tell just being here that you're servants. Amen. I mean, there's so many things that go on, and the folks that are here on a Thursday night and a building that's being built across the parking lot, there's some things happening here. Praise God for that. Praise God for people who will be servants. Can you see the need around you? She knew they were out of wine, and she came to Jesus and told him. And, you know, the need around us may be our family. It may be some friends, coworkers, neighbors. You know, I've got a neighbor that just moved in, and I'm afraid to go outside sometimes because of this neighbor. He's a canine cop, and he's got this dog that's scary, man. He brought it over the other day. I was out in front with my 3-year-old grandson. He says, "Hey, you want to pet my dog?" And I'm thinking, no. But he brought it over, and he said some word in a foreign language because that's the commands he gives it, and it just sat down and let my grandson pet it. He didn't know any better. Man, I didn't want anything to do with that dog. But, you know, I don't know that he's saved. But I'm working on him.
There you go.
I'm working on him. We're having a little golf outing next month, and I went over and I said, you know, I said, I need a partner for the golf outing, and Rick across the street's going to go, and I'm going to invite the guy down the street, and Rick's saved, he doesn't know that, and the guy down the street's saved, and he doesn't know that, and he's got to spend the whole 18 holes on a golf cart with us. And everybody that's going, most everybody's from our church, so he's going to be around us for a while, so we're going to have an opportunity to talk with him.
Yeah.
You know, there are needs around us. Do we see that need? I believe that she saw and recognized the need. Number two, I think she was excited about understanding God's word. She understood the importance of his presence. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need. And Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created. And 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing that any should perish. And that's all in the Bible.
Yep.
It's important for us to have an understanding of what we're supposed to be doing. It's important for us to take it to other people. Do you share it? You know, she just told him now, she said, whatever he says, do it. And I believe she had some reasons for that. She understood the immenseness of his word, how big it was. And John 14:3, it says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that exciting to you?
Yes, sir.
He's prepared a place for us. I mean, I can't fathom what that's going to be like. It's going to be exciting. We ought to be excited about letting others know that. She understood it. I believe that's why she said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I believe she existed to serve God. You know, she had experienced following his word, and, you know, she was excited about it, and I believe that she existed to serve God. She was a willing servant. Can you think of somebody in your mind that is a very willing servant? One of the things that amazes me, and it still does, is Pastor Dutry, our pastor, when he first came to Milford, I mean, you know, he took over a church of 750 people and the ministries there and everything else, and we'd have a fellowship. And my son was on staff back then, shortly after that, and he pastors now, but he came to me one day and he says, you know, he says, I feel like I have a degree from here just putting up chairs. Because every time we would have an event, we would set all these chairs up in our fellowship hall, and soon it was over, we'd take them down. And they'd always ask the men, please help us put the chairs up. But you know who was always there helping? Pastor Dutry. He's there beside his men putting chairs up. Now, he didn't have to do that. Nobody expected him to do that. And nobody really wanted him to drop a chair on himself and hurt himself or anything either. But he was willing to do it. My grandmother, been gone quite a few years now, but I remember she used to always say, if the Lord wills, I'll do this or that. She always said that. Now, she didn't have a college education. She grew up in Kentucky, but she loved the Lord. And you know, she was willing to help anybody. I asked her one time, because I was curious, I talked to a few people that had gone through the Great Depression. I wanted to know what it was like for them. And so I asked my wife's grandfather, and he said, well, he says, out in Missouri, he said it was bad. He said people were just turning their animals loose because they couldn't feed them and they didn't want them to die there, and they just let them go. And he told me some of the things he went through and how he got through it and what he did, and that was interesting to me. So when I saw my grandma, she lived down in Kentucky, I said, Mamma, I said, what was it like during the Great Depression? I'll never forget what she told me. She said, honey, I didn't even know we had one. She said, you know, nothing really changed for us. We grew everything we ate, but we had a lot of company. She said, I cook for people all the time. They just come and visit. She's a willing servant. What are you willing to do for Christ? How willing are you? I believe she was there helping with that wedding. You know, I don't think we should just be a willing servant. I think we should be a witnessing servant. I think one of the greatest examples in the Bible, Stephen, he didn't stop. He didn't stop. And you know, I believe that, I know what happened to Paul, but I believe Paul never forgot that. Folks are watching you. I use examples from Kentucky because that's where all of my family's from. I was born north of the border in Cincinnati, but they're all from Kentucky. But my uncle couldn't read or write. My uncle, when I witnessed to him one day, said, I can't read that book. I said, well, I'm going to read it to you. He said, no, no, no. He said, I've been watching Christians for years, and he says, if they're going to heaven, I'm going. I didn't know how to battle that. I kept witnessing to him. My dad stopped by the hospital when he was about to die. He had leukemia, and he was talking to him, and he said, no, I'm not ready yet. As dad was leaving the room, the guy in the next bed said, sir, wait a minute, hold it. Can I do that? And dad led the guy in the next bed to the Lord. He stopped back by to see my uncle the next morning, and he walked in, and my uncle said, well, I did it. He said, you did what? He said, I did what he did last night after you left. And you know, there was a change took place in his life. People are watching you. We need to be a witnessing servant.
Yes, sir.
What about the demoniac? He got saved. He was in his right mind. That's a great story. I love reading it. What always bothered me, though, is the people got scared after he was in his right, clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid of him. They'd gotten so used to what was going on. But he wanted to go with Jesus. He said, no, no. He said, go back. Go back and tell him. Go back and publish, he said. I like that word. Go back and publish to him. Right at the end of that, it says, when Jesus returned, they were all waiting for him. They didn't want him there before. I believe that demoniac was a great witness. Not only would he be a willing servant and a witnessing servant, but I think we should be a wholehearted servant. Verse 5, it says, whatsoever he saith, and you do it. And you know, those guys did it. They filled them to the brim. They filled them all the way up. I looked up one day. Those water pots, probably full, would have weighed 300 pounds, I believe. I always had thought before, until I got to looking at it close, that they picked up the water pot, they filled it, they took it out there. No, it said they drew it out, and they took it to them. You know, I believe that's how it is with us. There's things we need to do. They knew what was in there. He told them to bear it, take it to them. You think any of them took it out there thinking, I'm giving them water? This is just water? They knew what went in there. I don't believe they knew that what had happened until after they had tasted of that, when they took it to them. Sometimes, you know, I don't think we're going to know what happens with these Bibles until we get to heaven. But I know what the Bible says. It says His word will not return void. And you know, it's exciting to me that we get to do these projects and people call and they ask us, hey, we've got an idea. We want to give every child in Panama, this happened a few years back, a book that says Learning with Jesus. They don't have any textbooks and we want to take this to them. I said, well, we'll do that if we can put a John and Romans in the back of it. They said, okay. It was two semi-loads that we sent down there and they passed it out to all fourth, fifth, and sixth graders in that country. You know, those books are still being printed. They still are being printed and used in the schools. And the government's paying for it. That's incredible to me how God does that.
Yes.
We got to be in on the beginning of that. And God continues to do that. A guy called and asked me, actually my wife and I were on a trip like this, and he put us up in a, it's a weird story, but in North Carolina, we went down there, and he said, Brother Al, I don't have you a motel room. I don't have anywhere to stay except the campground. I said, well, that's fine. He said, well, they're having the national croquet tournament here this week. I didn't know there was such a thing. So we go out to the campground, and you guys, any of you seen that show Little House? I stayed in one. I'm not real little. It had a loft bed. My wife could fit. But it had a bed down on the floor. It was all good, all right? But in that little house, we had a meeting with a guy in the Faroe Islands. And he wanted to put a Bible in every hand of everybody on those islands. We shipped them this year. And he sent me pictures of him distributing them house to house all across the island. That's a blessing to me. This year we got to send John and Romans to two tribes down in Colombia. The Purapoca tribe and the other one I can't pronounce. But we got to send enough for one of everybody in that language. It's only 6,000 in one and 7,000 in the other. But what a blessing that we got to do that.
Amen.
We're going to continue to do it. We know the power of the Word of God. They took that water to those folks. They did what Jesus said. When they took that water, they knew what they were carrying. But I don't think they saw the results. We know what the Word of God is. We know what we've got here. We need to take it to them. We need to supply it. Church's responsibility to get the message to the messengers. They're not going to get saved without the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm excited about God's Word. I'm excited about what He's doing. Whatsoever He says unto you, do it. You know, we're all experienced with following God's Word. We should be excited about it, and we should exist to serve Him. Tonight, all I wanted you to do was think about why she said what she did. How you doing? Is He talking to you through His Word? Is He talking to you through His pastor? Whatsoever He says unto you, do it. Let's bow our heads.